My name is Anna Fadich, and I'm the Director of Programs and Health Promotion with the Men's Health Network. And I'm also the Program Planner for the Men's Health Caucus, who brings you today this session on community health initiatives for successful communication to men. So in this session, what we're going to do is demonstrate the different communication strategies used to reach various groups of men, boys, and their families. We're going to compare the effectiveness of community-based programs and evaluate the peer-to-peer support in the building of self-efficacy. Our first presenter today is Albert Pless. Albert is the program manager for the Men's Health League at Cambridge Public Health Department. Albert has over 20 years' experience working in community-based programs in the greater Boston area. Previously, he directed a nationally recognized community health worker program for the Black and Latino men at the Boston Public Health Commission. Albert is on numerous boards and committees, including the APHA Men's Health Caucus and the Black Healthcare Workers Caucus. Albert received his Master of Science degree in Community Economic Development from Southern New Hampshire University in Manchester, New Hampshire. And we're going to leave our questions until the very end so that each of our presenters has enough time to do their presentations. Albert?
Thanks. Good afternoon. So we're going to talk to you a little bit about this project that we have called the Men's Health League. And we entitled it Helping Men of Color Become Healthier, Sharing the Successes of the Men's Health League Program. So that's kind of what we'd like to do today. So we'll talk to you about three things as a part of this project. One is really talking about men's health in Cambridge in general and just kind of give you a basis for this work and what formed the Men's Health League. And talk to you about some of our program components, particularly two of them, and some of our findings. And also to us talk about some lessons learned. So that's a picture of some of our men on a bike ride, so I'll kind of share some of our pictures as we go along. So we do a bi-monthly bike ride to get men to exercise. So just to give you a little basis, and I know folks in here, how many people, just raise your hand if you're doing men's health work, just get a sense of the, okay. So some of the things I'm just going to go along and say, you may have already heard this stuff. So back in 2001, there was the 107 Congress brought up Resolution 632 to look at basically saying a crisis affecting the health and well-being of America's men. And there were three things that we kind of pulled from that to kind of shape a little bit of the work that we're doing. One was there was a lower life expectancy than women. I think us in men's health know that. There's different risk factors for men requiring different interventions. And so that's something that we try to do in terms of taking some different models and shaping them. And finally, men of color are suffering disproportionately burdening preventable mobility and mortality. So once again, some things you already know, but shape the work that we're doing in Cambridge around men's health. So men's health in Cambridge. I think Cambridge is way ahead the curve in talking doing health with men, particularly men of color. Back in 1991, a group of men formed the Men of Color Task Force, focusing on the health of men of color. From that was an initiative called the Men of Color Health Initiative, really focused once again on cardiovascular health, heart disease, stroke, and diabetes with men of color. And then from there, a report was generated back in 2008. A report on gender, racial, and ethnic health disparities in Cambridge. And so this kind of gave a lot of the data and the basis, and I'll share three things with you from that report. And these things you can get either online at the health department or I can send them to you. One was that, and some of the things you already know, black males nationwide, black males had a higher rate of diabetes, cancer, and HIV, and this is in Cambridge. Black males had a higher mortality rate of heart disease than Hispanic and Asian men. And also what we found through this report indeed is that black males had a higher rate of stroke hospitalizations in Hispanic and white Asian men. So once again, really looking at the data to form, begin to shape and inform the work that we're doing around the health of men of color. Back in 2007, we were fortunate to receive a grant to create a demonstration project. We received $750,000 from the Office of Minority Health. And the title at that time was called the Men's Health Community Health Connections, later changed to the Men's Health League. But this name has really significance. One is connections, and you'll hear throughout my presentation how we've tried to make connections and get men to connect with one another, connect with the community as a whole. So that kind of shaped and began, once again, the shape of the Men's Health League. At the same time, we received a grant from the Department of Public Health in Massachusetts to look at strategic planning in outreach with that group. I mentioned earlier the Men of Color Task Force, so really helping them they were doing some great work, but they didn't have a lot of funding to do that work, so we're helping to help build their capacity to do the work that they were doing for so many years. So we received that in 2007 as well. And then recently, and we're in the last few months of an Impact Diabetes Center grant focusing on diabetes with men. And through that, we've actually developed a curriculum focused just on men and, work around diabetes. So just some things to share with you from a report back in 2002, A Poor Man's Plight. I just share two things with you in this report. This was some of the basis. This just came out of Community Voices magazine. This came out a basis for some of the work. One was expanding health insurance coverage for men of color. Clearly, we see that a lot of men were either underinsured or underinsured, and so we really felt we need to really address that through the work we were doing. And in the fourth bullet, develop a holistic model of health care for men of color. We feel like we've tried to do that with the Men's Health League in terms of addressing the whole man. Clearly, our grant was the basis for it was a chronic disease grant that we had in the model, but we're really looking to expand some of the work that we're doing, really focus like on fatherhood and things like that. The partnership. So this partnership was formed. This was the basis, and we received the grant from an Office of Minority Health. And there were three organizations that formed this, and we had an advisory group. The Margaret Fuller Neighborhood House was the grantee for this particular project. Their 100-year-old settlement house, the Cambridge Health Alliance, which the health department sits underneath. There's a regional healthcare system program development and evaluation. And then finally, the Cambridge YMCA was a site for fitness. This is where we run all our fitness programs and through them. And like I said, mentioned earlier, the Men of Color Task Force was a community advisory group. So this kind of formed a partnership for the work that we were doing around men's health in Cambridge. So just to share with you, this is kind of just a visual of three of our program brochures. And we were really, everything we did within the Men's Health League, we did it through focus groups. And so we went out into the community and asked men kind of what would draw men to a program, you know. And so we began to look at the biggest thing they said, we had to have things on our brochures and flyers that drew men that looked like them we were trying to reach. So, you know, these programs, we put men on these brochures to really try to hopefully draw men in. So these are three programs. I'm going to talk to you today primarily about two of them, Fit for Life and Fitness Brothers, but I'm going to introduce you to Navigated Care and another component called the Men's Health Team. So these are three of our programs. So the objective of the Men's Health League, the objectives, one was to engage men in behavior change. We really want to see men adopt healthy behaviors around exercise and healthy eating around nutrition. So the three programs that address that, primarily Fitness Brothers and Fit for Life, but Navigated Care also. Navigated Care is a program I'll talk a little about in a few minutes, but that's engaging men in the healthcare system, getting primary care and health insurance. Also, to build grassroots leadership, that's through a group of men called the Men's Health Team. I'll talk about them in a moment. And also, we do a lot of work in the community around community events to raise awareness around health issues. So we really want to make sure we're using our community partners. Through them, we try to raise some awareness around health, around men. So just these next few slides, I'm just going to kind of go through them quickly, but this just gives you a snapshot of who we reached and some of our target population. So we reached over 363 men, or 363 men we reached through this three-year through the three-year project. And these were targeted numbers. So through the grant, we had to reach certain targets. And so these were close to the target numbers that we had put out in our application. So this is who we reached. And this does not include men that we've touched at community events and community activities. This is just through our direct interventions. Target population, again, were men between 30 and 45. That was a group that was most at risk for heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. So that was our primary target group. We reached that. But also, as you see, we reached the older group as well, 46 to 59-year-olds. You know, so we were able to reach. And then even 16% of the younger population really engaged in our projects as well, particularly Fitness Brothers. Primarily English-speaking, but other groups were represented as well. And once again, as I was speaking earlier, Cambridge is a very diverse community. The majority of the applicants were African-American, once again targeting African-American men. But once again, Cambridge is a very diverse community, and so we draw a lot of men from different ethnic groups. So this is just a picture, just give you a visual, but this is a group of men, this is a men's health team group, a team of men who encourage to seek health care, inspire healthy lifestyles, and provide grassroots leadership. And that's the base of these men. They are trained for 9 months to go out into the community, really kind of be, in essence, you want to call peer leaders. And there's a lot of terms that we can use around them, community health workers. These are just terms that you hear a lot, but this group of men are trained throughout the year to do that work. So this was them at a cooking demonstration. There's a chef right in the middle, a local chef who did some work around healthy eating and cooking. And there's some other community members sprinkling there as well. So let me talk to you about Navigated Care briefly. So Navigated Care is a project, is a program that really focuses on getting men engaged in the healthcare system, getting men health insurance, getting them primary care physicians. Also, we work with the physicians really closely through this program to look at medical records and really communicate with the doctors around adherence to doctor's appointments and things like that. And also what we do is through this project, this program, we link men to the other Men's Health League programs. So if they come into our Navigated Care program looking for health insurance or a doc, we also ask them on an intake form about their exercise and nutrition. So we try to engage them in something broader than just getting health insurance and a doc. So, and once again, primarily to help reduce some barriers to care through that. So the next few slides, I'm talking to you about these two particular components that we're excited about engaging men around behavior change. One is Fit for Life, targets men who are high risk for diabetes or heart disease. We offer a free membership to fitness facility. Mentioned earlier, the YMCA is our partner around that. And also we offer some training through some personal trainers as well as a men's health team of mentors. The way this project is set up is that men have to commit twice a week to the project. One day is a health education session where they're learning about nutrition, learn about physical activity in terms of learning about it, and also learning about men's health. And so they have 6 sessions on nutrition, 3 sessions on men's health or broader health, and then 3 sessions on physical activity. And then the other commitment is on a Wednesday. The first is on a Monday night. The second commitment is on a Wednesday night where there's a group workout. So they have to work out 45 minutes led by a personal trainer. We have introducing things like yoga, Tai Chi, dance, things like that, really getting to think about alternative ways to exercise. At the same time, the personal trainer helps them think about activities they can do outside the gym as well. So these are some men working out in a workout facility. And I'm learning some different things they can do potentially at home. Just go through a few slides about we did pre-post tests on each man who came through the program, and so we asked him some different questions. So this is just some things I'll share with you. This is around health and nutrition. We asked him a question: how often do you think about your health when deciding what to eat? And so as you can see, there were 2 options they had. One was none or a little at a time, and the second was some or all at a time. So before the program, 29% of participants answered none or a little at a time to that question. And then after the program, it went down to 12%. So you saw some movement in that in terms of people less thinking about that. Some or all the time, as you see, 71% participants answered, and that's a really good percentage to that, some or all the time. But then we moved the needle, which we really were trying to do in the program, moved the needle to 88% in terms of participants really thinking a lot about their health when deciding what to eat, not being impulsive around going, not really thinking about, okay, so is this something that really within the food groups and things like that. So we introduced those things to them along the way. And then the second question, I won't go through each question. The second question, is it easier for me to set realistic goals? Once again, really important. We ask the men to think about goal setting throughout the program. And so is it easy for me to set realistic goals? 2 options were strongly or slightly disagree. And second option, slightly or strongly agree. And so before the program, 33% participants answered that strongly or slightly disagreed to that question. And then after we reduced that number down to 16%, and then 67% of participants answered slightly or strongly agreed to that, which is actually a really good number. And then we actually increased that to 84%. So this is really, once again, moving the needle around setting goals, helping them. We talk about goal setting. We talk about that on their intake form. We ask them to think about their goals, and then we work with them through the personal trainer as well as through our staff around helping them set realistic goals. And so it was good to see some of these numbers being moved. And I'll just go over the first one on this one. You can feel free to see the second one. The first one, this was around frequency and exercise. And so before the program, 84% of participants only worked out none or one times, one or two times a week. And then after the program, that number reduced down, so they increased their activity in the gym. As you see, the second question was three or four more times. And so 16% of participants, when they answered that question first, thought about, and 16% worked out three or four more times. And as you saw, they begin to think about exercise more frequently. And some of that is really introducing exercise in a way that says it's not something where you have to go in and, you know, and be so competitive. You have to go in and work at your own pace. And so we talk about, we use language with them, help them think about different ways they can use the workout facilities. And then we use exercise in a broad way. It's just not working out in the gym. This is exercise if they go walk, things like that, ride bikes and things like that. So really give them different ways to think about exercise within that. We got a lot of quotes from the men throughout the program. We're always asking them exactly to tell us about this, and so you can definitely see those. But I just have a couple. I have one I wanted to just kind of highlight for you. I think kind of captures the Men's Health League as a whole. Meeting men with the same, it's a quote, meeting men with the same goal as me. Info about nutrition and health care seminars. I think the first line really sums up the work that we're trying to do in the projects around meeting men with the same goals. You know, we try to really work within the community to really identify men and really get them to think about themselves as a community of men supporting one another. And in fact, that's our tagline, a community health partnership for men. So really, I think that drives home our work. And so the question was, what did you enjoy most about Fit for Life? Fitness Brothers is another project that really engaged. These are, it's targeted men who are it's not for high-risk men, but it's just really getting men to think about using exercise facilities, using social support, being examples, being role models. We encourage men to work out two times a week in that program, and that's primarily because of the fact that we use it as a competitive program. So men join form a group of two to four men. They work out, and they report their times to the program coordinator. And we kind of use it as a way we give them incentives to work out and things like that. So we twice a week we thought was really manageable for the teams to think about working out together. And it's all self-report, so the honor system is there. So men can say, hey, I worked out, you know, 892 hours last week. And are you sure you did that or not? You know, but once again, we try to work with them and get them to see the beauty in competition. It's a free program. It's citywide, and we run that program at Valley Total Fitness is the site for that particular program. That's a partner that we developed over the last couple of years. And as I said earlier, we heavily incentivize that program. Even something simple as a wristband, a stretchy band, things they can just take away with them. So if you're running mental health programs or trying to get men in, you really want to think about incentives and buy things in bulk. So these are some men that's working out doing a football game in the spring. Once again, just to kind of go over a few slides with you about some of our data. This is around behavior change, participants increasing their physical activity again, the Fitness Brothers. You know, we asked them a question, how has your level of physical activity been affected by the Fitness Brothers program? As you see, decreased a little, 1%, stayed the same, 18%. Majority of participants referenced the fact that it increased a little or a lot. So once again, trying to move the needle around men thinking about exercise and nutrition, increasing that and at your own pace. Second question is around consumptions of fruits and vegetables. And as we know, this sometimes is a struggle, not just for men, but just in general. And so we try to introduce that to them in the in a way. We'll talk about a little later about our community events, but we try to do cooking demonstrations, try to do shopping tours, things like that to introduce them to fruits and vegetables. But the question was, on an average, how many total servings of fruits and vegetables do you eat? And so before the Fitness Brothers program, the average servings on the weekdays before the fitness programs, 2.8%. We moved the needle on that after the program, 3.1. This is significant around these percentages. And second, the second one was around weekends. And so we know it changes. People's eating habits change on the weekends and the weekdays. And we also recognize a lot of men are doing things socially with their peers, and so it may change the way they think about eating fruits and vegetables. But as you see, after the program, Fitness Brothers, we still are able to have them think about, even on the weekends, thinking about fruit and vegetables and the consumption of that. So we feel pretty good about that. And part of doing that is we really don't tell the men no. We don't say no a lot. The dietitians, nutritionists tell them no rarely. Basically what they do is kind of say, well, if you're going and you're eating out with your friends, just think about maybe adding lettuce and tomato on your hamburger. Maybe cutting it in half. Think about grabbing some things that really... you know, already at the restaurants and stuff like that, but you don't really have to abstain from things and may ostracize you from your friends. I'll just mention the first one here. Participants increased their knowledge around health and nutrition. And so question one was, no 6 checkups men should regularly have and stay healthy. As you saw, even 33%, that's not a bad percentage, knew about the 6 checkups before the program. But as you saw, over half the participants after the program knew what the 6 checkups were. And this is something that we really want to make sure men know as a part of their toolkit when they leave out our programs. You know, really how to take care of yourself long term is, you know, your 6 checkups. You got to know when at what age in terms of checkups you need to receive. So that's an important percentage, and we want to encourage men to think about those checkups. And in my pyramid, as you know, it's changed now. It's my plate now. But when we created the program, it was my pyramid. So that was a question around that. And once again, quotes again, but there's one that, you know, I love them all, but there's one. Communications between men who barely, the question is, what do you enjoy most about the Fitness Brothers program? Communications between men who barely knew one another, yet were supporting each other to healthy exercise more regularly. Cambridge is a small community. But yet, a lot of men do not know each other, or they reconnected. They went to high school together, reconnected back. So one of the ways that I celebrate, I love the fact that men are coming together and say, hey, I haven't seen that guy since high school. He put a little weight on, you know, and then, and so they kind of look at each other and say, hey, we got to figure out how to do this together. So really helping support one another, through that. And so I'm just going to go over a few slides briefly. We also, I said earlier, we kind of raised some awareness through our health a community outreach initiatives that we do. So these are some pictures of some events. There's a citywide term we do, Hoops and Health, which engages over 350 men through basketball and football, but also each one of those men has to do something health related before they actually can play, either take part in a workshop or get a screening. And so that's the basketball picture. The other picture in the top right, we partnered with the American Heart Association on 2 activities. One is a cooking demonstration. One is a barbershop tour, which is focused helping men to reduce the risk for stroke, and that's the men getting some information. And we also work around with the churches around Power Sunday, which is hoping to raise some awareness to the churches. But we do other projects as well. We do a breakfast every year. 2 years ago, Professor Charles Ogletree was our speaker for that. So really loving the way we're kind of bringing community and men together. Just want to go over a quick slides because I'm wrapping up. I apologize. This is a cooking demonstration. This is a shopping tour. A man getting screened at a barbershop tour. Some men doing Tai Chi. And they look like they're doing something else. I can imagine that picture, you look at them. So, but they're not. They're doing Tai Chi in that picture. They're not getting arrested. And so we have some men doing at the cooking demonstration as well. Some accomplishments, we created a replication manual. We got a nature award for diabetes. Really excited about our work around stroke that we've been doing. This was our original partnerships that we created, but we created these ton of other relationships with schools and politicians and faith-based institutions. So kind of growing this out. We have the bookends. We have the MIT and Harvard on our bookends, working closely with them around some work. My evaluator is crucial in this work, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but lessons learned. But ICH, Institute of Community Health, is our evaluator. Three lessons learned. A partnership is a great way to go in terms of building community. You have to get the buy-in from the community. It's not going to work without that buy-in. Invest in evaluation. You know, people kind of look at some time, but we invested early on, and it paid off, help in terms of, you know, dissemination, things like that. And finally, really building it through a men's health team in terms of leadership is a good way to go. Conclusions, I'll mention one here. The majority of participants were very satisfied with the program. You know, really excited about that, you know, because when you hear from them, that makes it all worthwhile. Acknowledging our participants, acknowledging our partners, and that's my information. Thank you so much.